The Colossians reading, which I'm going to focus on tonight, goes like this. Of course, Nathan's paraphrasing. If you're fair dinkum when you say you've been raised to new life with Christ, then commit yourself to the things that belong to such a life. Look to Christ, God's right-hand person, and take your cues from him. Concentrate on the things that matter to Christ and don't let yourselves get hooked into the agendas that preoccupy the world around you. Here, Paul is telling us to embrace the culture of God, a culture of love, mercy, and reconciliation. Easily said, yeah. But how do we do it? In my opinion, the Christian church has historically interpreted, preached, and practiced this admonition, embracing the culture of love, mercy, and reconciliation through Christ. Historically, it's been preached and practiced through a series of thou shalt nots, negativity. How do you like to be told you can't do something? You really make up your mind you're going to do it, huh? Don't you? And that's what historically the Christian church has said to its congregations, thou shalt not. These shalt nots mainly listed or largely listed in Exodus 20 verses 1 to 17 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 4 to 21, things like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not work on the Sabbath day, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not make false idols. And then there are those prohibitions listed in Leviticus. Thou shalt not eat pig flesh, crustaceans or seafood, rabbit or horse or camel. Thou shalt not wear blended fabrics. No cotton and wool blends, no cotton and elastane, no polyester and lycra.
Go naked, is that all right?
Sounds all right to me. Thou shalt not eat your steak too rare. Men are not to have long hair. Women should not have short hair, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And of course, going back to Leviticus, no tattoos. But these shall nots, originally intended to enable the church and its officials and its members to control its adherents, does not seem to have worked, especially today. I could ask how many here eat pork, how many eat crustaceans, how many eat seafood. I'm not going to ask about all of the others, but never mind. Today, we don't like being dictated to. We don't like being told what to do. We want the freedom to make our own choices. In place of the thou shalt nots, which the church seems to have cherished and promoted for centuries, I'd like to suggest that we could consider developing a list of thou shalls, or thou shalts, or using more contemporary language, a list of we shoulds, or really, I guess, we musts. What would such a positive list look like? What are some of the things that should go on such a list? I'm going to suggest five. Of course, the list is not exhaustive. And on the way driving here tonight, I thought, well, you know, instead of those five, I wish I'd put this other one in and taken that one out. But let's have a look. First one is we should be humanitarian. We should show some care and consideration for other people. We should use our skills and our talents, our God-given gifts, and share them with and for others. This means not being selfish or egotistical. Not doing as the farmer in the parable, or Nathan's paraphrasing the investor who made so much money, storing away goods in excess of their needs, we should share them. Contributing time, energy and money to assist others. Being kind and loving to people. In other words, what really matters is making ourselves rich in the sight of God by doing all of those things that God, Jesus, did for others. Number two, we should treat other people with consideration and respect, including being tolerant of other points of view. I'm sure today, society, we're all saddened by the number of cases of physical and verbal abuse which are reported. Staggering number of paramedics, nurses and police assaulted as they attempt to do their job, helping and supporting others in our communities. The assaults on teachers and principals in schools by parents and students. Recent research indicates that our teachers suffer the greatest rate of work-related stress. Reported assaults against spectators and amongst spectators at AFL games. Vegans illegally trespassing onto the property of animal farmers and causing financial as well as physical and emotional damage. Today, more people are beaten down by words than by fists. Peter Van Onselen, Professor of Politics at the University of Western Australia and also at Griffith University, wrote recently, "It's hard to overstate the ridiculousness, overzealous subjectivity and downright hypocrisy on both sides of the Israel-Philistine debate. Intolerance, lack of respect for others. Also, some people and groups previously oppressed have become oppressors. I am ashamed of some of the behaviour and the intolerance on some people on my side of the fence which surrounded the marriage equality campaign. Some who had been oppressed for many, many years became oppressors. The eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth mentality must not be re-embraced. An angry generation will not bring about reform and peace to the world. Love, consideration and respect for others will." On a recent Q&A program, the old rocker Jimmy Barnes said, "Treat people with respect, regardless of their background, their sexuality or their religion. Let's get rid of bullying." The radically different notions of tolerance, understanding and kindness of our role model, Jesus Christ, changed the world. As members of the community of Christ, it is our obligation to keep doing this work of being the best people we possibly can. We can change people by being a living example following the way of Jesus. Point number three of we shalls is we should take care of God's creation. I believe that human mismanagement, abuse of our earth is something we humans have to own up to and do something about, and sooner rather than later. Some of this abuse has been out of ignorance and complacency, but a lot of it historically has been based on greed and short-sighted expediency. Too often we trivialise our degradation of the earth and simplify it in terms of global warming, climate change, greenhouse gas emissions, but the problem really goes beyond these issues. Many of us and many of our governments are only concerned with the here and now, and ignore the concept of sustainability, which means that we use the resources we need now to be able to live, But we need to also plan to see that those resources are available for other generations in the future. Some recent research has shown that fish are chilling out and discarded human drugs in our waterways. Crabs are too chilled out on Prozac to be scared of predators. And fish are becoming feminized from hormones. Researchers have found traces of antidepressants, painkillers, cholesterol drugs, antibiotics, and the oral contraceptive pill among the pharmaceutical drugs in our waterways. It seems the aquatic animals are getting addicted to illicit drugs in the water, the same way as earthworms get addicted to caffeine when coffee grounds are regularly thrown into the compost. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops released a statement saying, "Care for the earth is not just an Earth Day slogan. It is a requirement of our faith. We are called to protect people and the planet, living our faith in relationship with all God's creation. This environmental challenge has fundamental moral and ethical dimensions that cannot be ignored." And just another comment, when the world was created, God did not draw a line between Mexico and the USA. Point number four, we should embrace spirituality. Yes, you heard me correctly. I'm saying we need to explore our spirituality as distinct from exploring or embracing just religion. Spirituality enables us to follow our heart, our conscience, and encourages us to listen to our intuition and to do what is right for us and for those around us. It allows us to be free to be the best people we can be and to be a good person with no promise or hope of either reward or fear or punishment. The reward is simply our own inner contentment and happiness. Religion, on the other hand, has largely become following a specific ideology or set of rules or regulations, the commandments, "Thou shalt not." Within most religions, there's a lot of fear. Fear of the consequences of our actions. Fear of what might happen to us after we die if we don't live our life according to the interpretations or dictations of a particular denomination or sect. However, with spirituality, love encourages us to focus all of our energy only on the good and to act only with love. Spirituality reminds us that we are not separate, not exclusive or elite. There are no borders, no races, no cultural divides, no them and us, no ins and outs. And of course, spiritual exercise keeps our mind in shape the way physical exercise keeps our body in shape. Number five, we should live in the here and now. The New Revised Standard Version of the Colossians reading says, "So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Heavenly mindedness is not to be understood as a form of complacency or irresponsibility or absent-mindedness about life or social or economic conditions or a sense of, "I don't need to do anything, I don't need to do any planning, God will provide." Heavenly mindedness should not mean that we ignore our earthly environments and our earthly associates and neighbours. Having a heavenly focus compels us as believers towards action within our social, economic, and political systems to pursue justice and fairness, to make a positive difference for others as well as for ourselves. This heavenly focus should generate desires and actions of social justice and social responsibility rather than any form of self-centeredness. We should be concerned for the marginalised. We should have an outreach to the outsiders rather than a focus just on the insiders. Jesus has brought us back from separation and alienation and reconciled us to God. We don't have to save ourselves, nor can we save ourselves. We can only long to know this Christ more and living deeply into his love and great kindness and grace. And for others, Christ can be brought into the world by us. In a few minutes, we'll be celebrating a spiritual feast, the Eucharist. Jesus' invitation was and is to all. However, in some churches, in some religions, there are rules and restrictions for the Eucharist. A minimum age, having to be baptised, having to be confirmed, whatever. Here, in this community of faith, no such exclusions apply. We just have to come as we are. Jesus has become the broken bread of life and says, come, eat, receive life and love into our being and let it transform us. Through Jesus' life, death and resurrection, we are reconciled to God. We're made free to be the person that God created us to be. We are loved and set free. We just have to live into it by doing these positive things. The list of we shoulds or we musts, instead of some negativity, we must become humanitarian. We must treat other people with consideration and respect and be tolerant of other points of view. We should take care of God's creation. We should embrace spirituality. We should live in the here and now, embracing the culture of God, a positive culture of love, mercy, and consideration. Wouldn't it be heaven on earth if our world was like this? Amen.
John. I invite you all now to turn to page 18 and